שלום, אברירן, שבת שלום.
שלום, בת שלום, מלכה, שבת שלום. ברוך השם. וויל. You want him to calm down.
He's a light boy, you know, his dress and his food and food over there this way. He was there 2 days, he spoke. My grandson heard him.
Yep. All right, let Sam finish his Hamnuta. All right, Abotai. The time is short. It's Erev Shabbat.
Hello, good lady.
Yes, I did. Malka, good morning. And good morning.
Good morning. Shabbat shalom. Everybody's okay.
Yes, yes. Regards from the doctor. So, we'll just make a... few ha'arot on the famous haftarah that we have this week. Of course, we know the parashah is the parashah of the Meragelim, the spies. And the spies actually was part A and part B. There was the expedition that was sent by Moshe, and then there was a second expedition that was sent by Yehoshua ben Nun. So the haftarah actually talks about Yehoshua's commissioning, not of 12 spies, but of 2 spies into Eretz Israel. The Malbim points out at least 3 major differences between the 2 expeditions. It's worthy to point out. The Meragilim that Moshe Rabbeinu sent were actually asked by the people. The Pasuk says, "V'tekrevun elai kulichem." The people banded and came in front of Moshe and they said, "Nishlecha anashim." So that was it was from the populace. And therefore, since the people sent them, when they came back with the bad report, the people accepted the report. After all, they were sent by the people. Yeshua, however, did not take a poll and get the people's approval. He sent it on his own. That's why the Pasuk says, Vayishlach Yehoshua bin Nun. He sent it himself. Big difference. Number 2, Moshe Rabbeinu sent the spies from Midbar Paran, from the desert. Now, Midbar Paran is far from Eretz Israel. It's not close. And therefore, Bnei Israel were questioning if they're going to be able to conquer it because they were far away from the land. Whereas Yehoshua, it says, sent from Shittim. Like the Pasuk says, Vayishlach Yehoshua ben Nun min Shittim. Shittim is right on the border. And therefore, the Jews were confident that they were just going to go right in. Moshe Rabbeinu sent 12 spies, and it calls them Tarim, Latur et Ha'aretz. And Yehoshua sent 2 spies, and they were not called Latur, they were actually called Meragelim. What is the difference between Tarim? Right. Well, tourist is not a tourist. What is the difference between Latur et Ha'aretz or Leragel et Ha'aretz? So the Malbim comes along and says, spies in the sense of Latur is more to check out the land, to see if it's suitable for living, the good areas, the bad areas. You want to make sure that the place is fit for agriculture and how amiable, if the environment is going to tolerate the people. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu says 12 spies, 1 per tribe, so each one can go check their spot in order to come back and say, yeah, we got trees, we have this, we have that. Each one can come back and give the report. Every tribe has their own needs. So therefore 12 was sent. Whereas in the case of Yehoshua, it was not sent for that. It was sent for strategy, which means to go in and see how to conquer it. Therefore, I don't need to send 12. I need to know at the border. So therefore, he only sent 2 spies. So one is Latur, and one is Leragel. Leragel is more to spy it out.
More people, right?
Exactly. That's more strategic for military, in order to find out where the weakness is, how they're able to go fight. Therefore, you don't have to send 12 in Yeshua's case. You don't have to send 2. That's why, in the case of Moshe, there's room for, oh, the land is good for us, not good for us, because that's what they're judging. In the case of Yeshua, it's not a judgment about the land. It's just a strategic move, how we're going to come in. So therefore, there's no room for Lashon Hara in Yeshua's case. Furthermore, the Pasuk says, Vayishtach Yeshua ben Nun min ha-Shittim, Shnayim anashim meragelim, Cheresh lemor. Cheresh. Now, what does Cheresh mean? Bishtika, Cheresh. Nobody knew that they were sent. Whereas the spies of Moshe, it was well known. This was a clandestine message over here. So there's a big machlok at how to learn this pasuk. So by the way, every word in this pasuk is indicative of a difference between Yeshua's spies and Moshe. Let's read it again. First of all, Vayishlach Yehoshua. Yehoshua sent them as opposed to the people. Menashitim, whereas Moshe sent it from Midbar Paran, far away. Shnayim Anashim, he sent 2. And he sent 12. Miragelim, he sent Miragelim. They sent Tarim. And what? Cheresh. Number 2, number 5 is what? Or number 4, it was on the QT, which means it was quiet. Now, according to Rashi, on his interpretation over here, Cheresh means Vayishlah, which means Sheshilach otam b'shtika. So the word Cheresh is defining the Vayishlah. How did he send them? He sent them on the quiet. However, Rashi has an alternate interpretation. Amar lahem, asu atzmichem kecherishim. He told them, make yourselves like deaf people, which means when he sent them, he told them, make yourselves like deaf people so the people in Canaan won't be afraid to talk in front of you. Which means when you get there, talking sign language to each other. So when they see two deaf people, they don't know they understand anything. So therefore, they're not going to be scared to give all the... So therefore, according to that, asu atzmechem hershim v'atim omdim al razehem. So therefore, the way we read the pasuk according to that is Vayishlach Yehoshua ben Nun min ha-Shittim Shnayim Anashim Meragelim Cheresh Lemor. Cheresh is explaining Meragelim. According to that interpretation, we did Meragelim have to be Cheresh. Some say the mission was Cheresh. If you learn the mission was Cheresh, then Cheresh is going back on Vayishlach. Vayishlach Cheresh. Or is it Meragelim Cheresh? That the Cheresh is going on the actual spies itself. That would be the Nafkamina, how to learn the Pesukim. Now she also explains in an alternate explanation, Cheresh, he says, don't read it Cheresh, read it Cheres. Cheres is pottery. Asu atzmechem kekadarim. Make for yourselves like potters. Not what is a potter? Not that, right. I was going to say, not somebody that smokes pot or sells pot. But they sell pottery bun. Exactly. Which means, make for yourself like your merchant selling pottery. So they won't suspect you. That's okay, they know these guys are coming to sell their wares. So he said, Cheres lemor. Instead of Cheres lemor, make yourself. And therefore, they're going to speak, hawking their wares. Who wants pottery? Who wants pottery? Okay, miskinim, guys selling, cheap stuff over there. Shelo yergish ben b'nei adam. Fine. The fifth item, difference between the expedition of Moshe and Yehoshua, lemor, lechu re'u et ha'aretz v'tiricho. He told them, go look at the aretz, and specifically Yericho. The meragelim, they actually were sent to the width and the breadth of the country. They were only going to check out the city of Yericho, because that's where the entry point was. So therefore, the distance that needed to be traveled was much different between the spies of Moshe and the spies of... So in the first pasuk, it actually tells us the five differences between the two missions. Now, Rabotai, the amazing thing is, the two spies were tzaddikim, as we know. We're going to talk about them in a minute. They were actually Kalev, who was a veteran, and you have also Pinhas. Yes, Pinchas the Kanai, the great Zilat, two tzaddikim. And now they're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, everybody over here is over 18, I hope.
This is before the Meraglim?
They went before the Meraglim? What do you mean they went before?
He said two went, and then the 12 went before.
One second. Slow down, Gary. This is the Haftarah. The Parasha was the story of the 12 spies in the times of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu died already. Now Yeshua took over. And then Yeshua sends another expedition of two spies. So yes, to answer your question, the story of Yeshua happened after the story of Moshe. Just to clarify that. I'm sure I wasn't clear enough. The story of Yeshua happened after the story of Moshe. Okay? And the story of David HaMelech happened after the story of Yeshua. So, you know, as the generations descend, that means the story happens later than theirs. So Yeshua is after Moshe. It's a point well taken.
In the military, if you watch World War II, exactly what Yeshua did, that's what they do. When they have a whole army coming, they send out a little group.
So they follow Yeshua. They follow Yeshua. Oh, but back to the 18, yeah. Vayelichu, vayavo'u bet isha zona. The first point of entry when they get into Eretz Yisrael is they go to a lady of zona. One interpretation can mean that she sold mezonot. Zona melashon mezonot. Or she had a kiosk. But according to the Gemara, zona is explained zona. Ushma Rahav. And her name was Rahav. Now, the Targum explains it Pundakita. Pundakita is a Pundakit, which is a lady that sells mezonot. However, according to the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara says that anybody that says Rahav, Rahav, already, lo alenu, if they knew her, would have already bad thoughts. So, from there the Gemara says, she was a zona. Why would they go to the house of a zona? At first stop, you know, you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're in Yericho, so you're close to Shechem, go visit the grave of Yosef, you know, maybe go, maybe you got some Kibbutz Tzaddiki. I have no problem over there. I have no problem. But you wouldn't expect that, you know, when the tzaddikim come back, tell us what you did in Israel. Oh, we visited Rahav HaZona. So I didn't know that's on the itinerary for the Bar Mitzvah trip. I didn't know that that's one of the station stops, that you go to Rahav HaZona. You go to the Kotel, you go to, you know, even do some excavation. I don't have a problem. Go ziplining. But they went to Rahav HaZona. So that's the big question. And the simple explanation is that this was a decoy. What's the decoy? Everybody knows that the God of the Jewish people is sonezima, hates immorality. So nobody's going to suspect that two Jews are going to the Havazona. So when they, you know, they probably have surveillance, you know, by the Havazona. You know, the newspapers want to catch all the politicians going to the Havazona. So they're out there scanning the place out. But they said, these guys cannot be Jewish. We know that the Jewish people don't do these type of things. So that was a great place to hide. The last place you think you're going to find two tzaddikim is in the house of Rahav HaZona. Furthermore, there's nobody that probably knows more information on what's going on in the government than Rahav HaZona. Because all the senators and all the, you know, from both houses. Both the Democrats and the Republicans. And that's one thing they agree on. And the Democrats and the Republicans can't agree on anything, but they all agree on the Rahav HaZona. They say, no, we agree on that. And therefore, they would be able to get information out of the Rahav HaZona because, again, she's next to the people. Furthermore, Vayomer leMelech Yericho leMor, which is an amazing part of the story. Immediately, the king of Yericho is on to them. How did he know? Vayomer, it doesn't say how he found out, but Vayomer. We've been infiltrated. Which is an amazing thing. Moshe Rabbeinu sends 12 spies and they're able to go 40 days. 40 days. They're going all over the place, and nobody caught them. Here they go in the middle of the night. They go to the Havazunah's house, and within the first hour, bingo, the surveillance is on them, which needs to be understood. Lahpor ta'aris. They came to dig the land up. Literally, lahpor ta'aris is to spy the land. Oha. That's why they came at night. That's why the pasuk says, "Hinei anashim ba'u hina halayla." If they weren't spies, they'd come during the day, like normal. Normally, people don't travel by night, especially in the olden days. It's dangerous. The fact that they came at night must be that this is what we call espionage. Vatikaha isha et sheneha anashim. Here's an amazing part of the Navi, of the story. She takes the two men. Vatitspino. What's the problem here, gentlemen, with the pasuk? She takes the two men. Very good. Vatitspino and hides him. Oh, so it should say Vatitspinim. She hid them. So this is one of the big Chedushim over here. The Gemara says at this point that Pinehas stood in front of the Habazonah and then said abracadabra and disappeared. So yeah, he disappeared. He was able to make himself seen and unseen. Kalev didn't have that trick. So therefore, he needed to be physically hidden. The Midrash writes, Upinhas amad lifnehem velo ra'uhu. They didn't see him. Lefi shaya kemalach. Fine. Now, if I wanted to explain it without saying miraculous things, Vatitspino would mean she hid each one separately. Vatitspino. She hid Kalev in one place and hid Pinhas in another place. Now, the real sugya over here is, Rabotai, what I came to say today in the short time that we have, as I said, the whole story, if we stop right here, we have enough to talk about. The whole story doesn't make any sense. First of all, the fact that they hit the Habazonah's location first. The fact that the Habazonah, who it says was doing znut from when she was 10 years old, and now we're 40 years after the Midbar, she was doing znut from when we left Egypt. So I mean, she's in the business for 40 years. She was 50 years old, Zona, Rahava Zona. And now all of a sudden, the spies go to her for whatever reason, and she takes a liking to the spies to protect them. Which means she's a Zona. She's a, who knows what she is. And all of a sudden, she's hiding the spies, risking her own life. If she gets caught harboring these spies, it's a death sentence for her. Not only that, eventually, her language, when they ask her, you know, what's going on, what's the sentiment of the people, so she comes along and she says, well, let me open up the Haftarah here, at least we're reading inside. When they ask her, what's, you know, what's the sentiment? Vatomer, Vatomer, his Tomer, Ken Bau Elaya Anashim. So the king sends, the king of Yericho sends people to the Hav's house. Hotsiwa Anashim. We know you're harboring people. Send them out. Ki lachporet kol ha'aretz ba'u. So she hid them. They did come to me. But I don't know where they came from, where they are. They left. She sent them on what we call in America a wild goose chase. Exactly. They went that way. She points the wrong way and they put them, send them in the wrong direction. She put them on the roof. She hid them on the roof. She put some wood over them. Meanwhile, they're running on the Yarden, the wrong direction. They locked the gates in the city so nobody could escape. before they went to sleep. She went up to the roof. But Tomer el Anashim Yadati. This is the Havzona talking. This does not sound like the Havzona. Ki Natan Adonai Lachem Et Ha'aretz. I know for sure that God has given you this land. V'chin nafla ematchem alenu. We have fear of you. V'chin namogu kol yosh ba'aretz b'penechem. The whole country is afraid. Ki shamanu et tashiru v'ishma t'mei yamsuf. We heard what you did 40 years ago. T'mei yamsuf v'sitchem b'mitzrayim. V'ashir asitem. And we heard what you did to the two kings. Be'evre yaden, Sihon and Og. V'nishma v'yimas lebabenu. Our heart is melting. We don't even have a spirit. Now here's the line. Ki Adonai Elohechem Hu Elohim Bashamayim Mima'al Ba'la'aretz Mitahat. Yeah, Habibi. There we go. Better than Yitro. Yitro said, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol Elohim.
He still had gods.
He still had other gods. Na'aman said, if you remember when he converted, he said, "Yadati ki Hashem Elohim b'chol ha'aretz, ki en Elohim b'chol ha'aretz." Rahab said, "Bashamayim imavalas b'dad everywhere." I'm asking a question. With all due respect, Rabotai, I only have 6 minutes to say this. Rahab zona. How do you go from zona to a ma'amin of the highest level?
There's no problem, Rabbi. What business is business? That's what, that was
a panasah. Right. You know. Business, Moses is Moses, the business is business.
Right.
So explanation over here about the depth of the parasha is like this. The Midrash says in Tanhuma regarding these two spies, She'en lecha habib lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'shaliach mitzvah shu mishtaleach la'asot mitzvah ונותן נפשו כדי שיצליח בשליחותו. Borei Olam loves people that are on a mission. He loves people that are committed to the mission, that give their life for their mission. And then the Midrash gives an example. Give me some people that are on a mission. ואין לך בני אדם שנשתלחו לעשות מצווה, ונותנים נפשם להצליח בשליחותם, כאותם שני שלוחים ששלח יהושע בן נון. Unbelievable. The paradigm example of people that are on a mission that sacrifice everything to succeed was the two spies. They get to the Havazonah's house. She wanted to hide them. Amala Pinhas. Pinhas tells her, Ani Kohen. והכוהנים נמשלו למלאכים. The Kohanim are like מלאכים. כשאני רוצה נראה. וכשאני רוצה, אני נראה. When I want to be seen, I'm seen. And when I don't want to be seen, I can disappear. And that's why the Pasuk says what? Batitzpeno. Doesn't say batitzpenem. She only hid one of them. What's this inyan over here? So I'll explain the inyan very quickly. And what you have to understand something very clear. This conquest of Eretz Yisrael is not like a regular conquest of a regular country. What we have conventional warfare. This is unconventional warfare. You know, like they have germ warfare, they fight these unconventional men. Over here, we were fighting against Kohot HaTum'ah. That's what I'm telling you. Eretz Kena'an had a tremendous force of kohot ha-tum'ah, kelipot, very strong, like Egypt, by the way. Egypt, very similar. The miracle that we got out of Egypt, they had a spiritual hold on us. Black magic, it's almost as if Paro had a magnet, electromagnet, you know, that holds the people in place, you can't escape. And the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to neutralize the magnet was a big hadush. Nobody can escape its life. It was spiritually and physically impossible. He said, what do you mean? Why can't you escape? Just go. No, you couldn't. He had them under a spell. Understand? It's like saying somebody is on anesthesia, full body anesthesia, and he could talk. He cannot be. Once the guy's under anesthesia, he cannot. But all had the whole country under anesthesia. meaning a full body anesthesia. And what? Moshe Rabbeinu was able to escape on the anesthesia. Kena'an, by the way, was filled with kilipot of tum'ah, specifically immorality. When the Torah introduces immorality, what does it say? Kema'aseh eres Kena'an. Do not do the ma'asim of eres Kena'an. Eres Kena'an is considered like, the place of
the epitome
of degeneracy, of smut, as they call it. And now you have over here Kena'an. It's called Kena'an. Who is Kena'an? We know what Kena'an is. Kena'an is either the son or the grandson of Noah. And we know what he did. He acted in an immoral way to his grandfather. He did not nice things. Today they would put him in jail for what he did. They would put him in and in jail they would kill him for based on what he did to his grandfather. He would go to jail, and in jail they would kill him. The prisoners would kill him themselves for doing that. Or they would do it to him also. The point is, Kenan was a low life. So Kenan has those genes. So Kenan is filled with tum'ah. And every place of tum'ah and the kiliput can only live if the yonik from the kiddushah. They have to have some kiddushah, and that's where the yonik. They have no life on their own, the kiliput. It's like a fungus. The fungus has no life on it, so it's got to live off of things. So too, the kiliput, they grab onto something that has kiddushah to it, and they, like scavengers, they hold on to it. Understand? So how do you get rid of the kiddipot? It's a mission. You got to go in there, and you got to pull the kiddushah out. And once you pull the kiddushah out, that's it. They all die. They starve to death. Let me make it very clear to Botai. The Arizal says Rahav had a very big soul. She had a very big soul. Don't. Let's go backwards. The proof that she had a big soul, eventually she'll convert. Eventually she'll marry Hoshua ben Nun. That's what I'm telling you. Eventually she'll have 8 prophets that will come out of her, including the prophet Yirmiyahu. Will be her great-great-grandson. So, you see, Sofa Megale al Tahilata. You see what she was, what's inside of her. However, with his potential kiddushah, the kiddipot try to suppress that kiddushah. So the kiddipot were all by the Hav, the Gara. She was holding all the kiddipot of Kenan inside of her. She had all that treasure of the kiddipot, which is the koach of Kenan. It's in the Havazonah. You remember when Israeli went in, the Israelis, the Mossad, they went in that summer morning or summer afternoon into Iraq with their planes flying at low altitude, and they blew up the reactor. Remember? Yeah. And then they made a U-turn, they came back, and the Iraqis scratched their head. What just happened over here? Now you see it, now you don't. You remember that summer in this late 70s raid on Entebbe? They went into Uganda. So every mission of Mossad has a location. They have the target. Here the target is, you got to get the nuclear reactor. That's where the trouble is. In Uganda, it was the airport, and in Entebbe, that was the target. You got to get into the airport. So that this is the first mission of Mossad, by the way. The location was not a nuclear reactor, and the location was not the airport. Yehoshua ben Nun told them, the danger over here is Rahab HaZunah. You got to go to that house. That's where all the kiliport are hanging out over there. You got to go there and you got to do a tikkun in that house. Now, you know how difficult to make a tikkun is over there? The tikkun has to be done, like the other missions of Mossad, flawlessly. If there's one error, the whole mission gets sabotaged, gets ruined. You understand how perfection? You're going to have to go into the Habazona. You're not going to be able to have one hidhur, not one bad thought, not one histaklut, not one, nothing. Zero ta'aba. And you're going to have to pulled the Kiddusha out and the Nitzotzot from Rahav. And if you could pull the Kiddusha, the Kiddipot will dissipate. And then the rest of, that's it. Then the wars, then we're going to go in and just sweep up. We'll go up and sweep up after. But the main war is going to take place in the Habazurah's house. All of a sudden, she gets a knock on the door. Two guys come in. She's okay, customers. All of a sudden, she sees, no, these are not customers. They're not even looking at her. They don't even have her. And all of a sudden, the Kiddusha and the Nitzotzot started to, that's it. And she started to come to herself as a result. They were making tremendous tikkunim in the Habazonah's house over here. They knew this is the Kilipav Znut over here. If they can break the Hava, so what happened? What do you think, Rabotai? You think the Iraqis were not watching the nuclear reactor? Of course they were. You don't think the Ugandans, they had their guards on the towers in Entebbe waiting for the Israelis to come in? Of course they were guarding it. You don't think the Sitra Hara is guarding Rahav? Of course, they know Rahav is the whole key. Rahav Azonah is the whole key. It says, Rahav is wide. She's swallowing all the Nitzotzot. All the Nitzotzot she's having. All the Kiddusha. We got to release it. So the Kiddipot, V'alilim karot shekaretun. The Tekerun ha-mukhut shaddai. So what happens? V'yomer la-melech Yericho. All of a sudden, the king of Yericho says, Hine anashim bau, hine alayla. How'd the king know? Sitra Hara. The Sitra Hara is not going to let this go so easily. So there was Sitra Hara also has agents. So they figured out how to let the king know ASAP that you better stop it. Because these guys over here, now let me explain to you. The Arizal says that the tikkun of the Nitzotzot, to remove the Nitzotzot of Kiddusha, in the place of the Tumah, altogether there's 288 Nitzotzot. They're called Rapah Nitzotzot. The goal is, on this scavenger that we're playing, we have to collect 288 Nitzotzot. Once we collect the last Nitzot, Mashiach will come. They're all scattered all over the world. And sometimes they're in the least expected places. In this case, they were hiding in Rahav Azorah's house. That's why the Pasuk says, when the king, they tell the king, Hine anashim ba'u henna halayla b'bnei Yisrael lachpor et ha'aretz. Lachpor, says the Mikubalim, is otiot rapach. That's why they use lashon lachpor. Lachpor, rapach. They came for the rapach nitzotzim, for the 288 nitzotzim. Oh, so now what happens? These shilihim were going on the most dangerous mission ever. Because it's do or die. I mean, if they go in and have one bad hidhur, next they get sucked in. And now all of a sudden, everybody's been waiting for the Kohen Gadol to come out of the Kodesh Kodashim. He's not going to come back. You understand how dangerous this was? That's why one of the spies that is sent to Pinhas. Pinhas is a veteran. You remember what Pinhas did? Hazak Baruch Eliyahu. During the time of the Znut, of Zimri, he was able to go into the tent during the act. Now you need a big tzaddik during the act, not to look, not to have any hirhur. By the way, it's like the disco rebbe. Right. You telling the rebbe you got to go into the discotheque. Mm-hmm. Who knows what they're doing over there? They're doing all sorts of stuff, and you have to influence them before they influence you. And you're only one, and they're 1,000, and they're dressed wrong, and they're gallivanting, and they're doing everything, and all of a sudden the disco rebbe. In 5 minutes, he has them all standing on the dance floor. Shema Yisrael, Adonai, 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 what's this guy doing over here? How do you do it? You can only mean 100% of the Shem Shammai without any kabbanah nigdi in order to grab them. The Kiddipot cannot stand when there's a perfection over there. So the Kiddipot tried to sabotage. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. The Melech found that right away. Get him out of here. No, Melech. Very stupid question. How can the Melech be Jewish? Melech Yirioh, it's Goyim. So now what happens is, they're in the Habazonah's house, and she sees these people are not normal. But Pinhas was a veteran. He already was in a situation like this where Znut was, and he came out. So Yeshua says, you got to go over here. Now, just because he's seen it once, did not necessarily mean he's going to succeed again, but he's the right guy. And Caleb was an old veteran spy that didn't get influenced in the first round, so therefore he's sent again. So they're both there. They're both there. That's why the Midrash says there was no greater people that were on a mission that were more sernefesh for the shidichut like Caleb and Pinhas. They went to the most dangerous place. You think these Israeli missions of going into countries and doing all this dangerous stuff, that's physical danger. Here are these people, that tzaddikim, put themselves in the most spiritual, dangerous place of the Kinipot, and it's a very highly risky mission if they're going to succeed to... And all of a sudden, they hear starting in the Havazonah saying, Atayadati ki Hashem wa Elohim. What's happening? They got the magnet working. The magnet's pulling out all the nitzotzot. They're getting everything out. I mean, they're making kabanot and all that. And as they're doing it, you see the metamorphosis in the Hav. You see the Hav all of a sudden. It's like she says the new person. She's starting to talk a different hakaya. Different language. You following how it's going on in this deep story? Furthermore, what does she say? She says, Ve'ata eshav ali, b'Hashem, ki asita mechem chesed, promise me that you'll do me a chesed, okay, fine, don't kill me, when you come and conquer, don't kill me, save me and my family, that we'll discuss another time. What happens over here? Let's go to the end of the story for a second. V'yeshuvu shnei nashim v'yedu me'ahar. They hid for 3 days in the mountain. God doesn't put the tzaddikim in trouble for more than 3 days like we see in Megillat Esther, Shlosha Yamim. V'ya'avru v'yabu li Yoshua. They come back to Yoshua. ויספרו לו את כל המוצאות אותם. ויספרו לו, מה זה ויספרו לו? So why did it say, ויאמרו לו, ויגידו לו? There's many ways to say they related the information. מה זה סיפור? Why they use סיפור? I'll explain it to you. Then forgive me, רבותיי, I do have a breakfast and I'm supposed to speak in 3 minutes. I'm probably late already. I hope they don't take my slot. Remember when we read the Haggadah Shel Pesach? It says the story of the five rabbis. Shayu mesapirim b'siyat Mitzrayim kol oto halayla. What did they, Megillat Haggadah Shel Pesach, use the word mesapirim b'siyat Mitzrayim, sipur yisat Mitzrayim? Remember we said that they didn't even know if it was day or night. There was so much light in the room that they didn't even know if it was the time of Kiryat Shema because they couldn't tell. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashamayim Mesaperim Kevod El. Literally means, the Shamayim speaks the glory of God. But the Kabbalist, Rabbi Moshe David Wali, the student of Ramhal, learns it differently. He says, Mesaperim comes from the word sapir. Sapphire. What is sapphire? Bright. Hashamayim Mesaperim. The Shamayim is light, like sapphire, misaperim, has a brightness to it. Understand? Hashamayim misaperim. And that's what it means in Haggadah Shel Pesach. Shayum misaperim b'siyat Mitzrayim. When they were telling the story of Yisrael Mitzrayim, it was misaperim. It was like a sapphire. It was a light that was coming out that they couldn't even tell the difference between day and night. Understand what's going on? They come back over here and they tell Yeshua, v'yisaperu, they show them all the lights that they took back. They show them all the orot, all the nitzosot, by saperu. They say, look at this here. We did it. Mission accomplished. We were at the Hav. She's done. She's converted already, by the way. And now, by the way, when they're going to go in, what's going to happen? The walls of Yericho are going to come down by themselves. Because the only koach of the walls of Yericho was the nitzosot of Kedusha that were holding them. But they were in captivity. So when they came, so by the way, what was a more dangerous mission? Taking the captives out of Entebbe or taking these spiritual captives out of Yericho? No question. By the way, this is the template to all future Mossad operations. This was the first operation. To go in now, clandestinely, and to go to the Haba Zona, is a typical Israeli mission over there. The police were at least expected in the Haba Zona's house, and they knew that that's where all the gold was. That's where all the nitzotzot were. And they come along and they make the tikkun at a tremendous level. And she says, and we heard what you did to Sihon and Og. Because Sihon and Og were the fathers of the Kilipa. Once already you knocked them down, we said, forget it, we don't stand a shot, because they were your neck also from the Kilipot. And therefore, this story has to be understood on a totally different way. This was not an inyan of physical warfare. This was in order to make the tikkun, which ultimately was. And that's why the Midrash says you don't find shilichim that were committed to a mission more than they. Because they really risked themselves. For the tzaddik to go into Rabbi Zona's house, you're risking your own... But they were so focused not to lose the concentration, and they were able to come back. And when they came back, I'm sure Yeshua breathed a sigh for his Baruch Hashem. Oof, we didn't know what's going to happen. They could come back and he could look at their father and say, "Holy, oh." And by the way, the Gemara says, anybody that said the Haba Zona's name already became Tameh, just by saying her name. So could you imagine being in the same house with her? But ultimately, they were able to make this going. Okay, Rabotai, stop over here. You forgive me, but I'm really running to the... Can somebody drive me to the event? Where's the car? Elliot.
Elliot, you're
going? I'm
right here. Let him take you. I'm a block away.
Gary, you driving him?
Yeah. What's your name? My car to walk. I'm here during the week, actually.